have a poem that I'd like to share. It's entitled, When Someone Deeply Listens to You. When someone listens deeply to you, it is like holding out a dented cup you've had since childhood and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When it reaches the top of the brim, you are understood. And when it overflows and touches your skin, you are loved. When someone deeply listens to you, the room where you stay starts a new life, and the place where you wrote your first poem begins to glow in your mind's eye. It is as if gold had been discovered. When someone deeply listens to you, your bare feet are on the earth, and a beloved land that seemed distant is now at home within you. When someone deeply listens to you. I have been that dented cup. Such a simple vessel. My dented cup is made of tin, like the old cowboys or backpackers would use. A dented tin cup. Though it is useful, it is showing the wear and tear of use. I have been the old dented tin cup many times in my life. Times when my soul was empty, dry, and aching, yearning for connection, yearning to be comforted, to be loved, for a friend. When someone deeply listens to you, it is like holding out a dented cup that you've had since childhood, and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When it balances on the top of the brim, you are understood. When it overflows and touches your skin, you are loved. I don't know how often or regularly you are blessed by the gift of someone deeply listening to you. But it truly is a blessing, a profound wellspring of hope and joy and bubbles up within you, and our soul is nourished. We feel filled to the brim with love when our dented tin cup of a soul overflows. Oh, my friends, that is peace and joy and love and respect and kindness and compassion and clarity all in one. I recommend it most highly. I learned about being listened to deeply through my friends in the ministry. When Unitarian Universalist ministers would gather in retreat, we often would break into small groups for what, for lack of a more poetic name, we called deep check-in. Each person is given the floor, is given a goodly chunk of time to check in. Not so much check in with the others in the group, but really to check in with oneself, to take one's own internal temperature. My collegial friends would listen without interruption and give me the privilege of speaking and reflecting with them on how it's going in my life and in my ministry. In short, we answer the Quakers' favorite question, how is it with your soul? which is so much more expansive and inviting than how you doing. These ministerial circles were often the only time that I had to stop the spinning world long enough to go and look for my soul. I was often so busy with my life that I wasn't actually aware of what might be waking up or festering inside. But as I would pour out my unfiltered, disorganized reality to my colleagues, I could begin to discern patterns and meanings and direction. I would see more clearly what I am called to be and to do in this gracious and broken world. Their compassionate listening filled me anew with energy and life and hope, with courage to do what needs to be done, gave me a clarity of purpose. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out quite that well. One time I was sharing what to me was a genuine soul-wrenching pain in a circle, and my small group was listening attentively without interruption until a colleague, a good person, a good minister, chose to support me with a little wisdom from his own experience. "Peter," he said, "what you're going through really sucks. But trust me, it will get better. Here's what I think is actually going on. Blah, 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 blah. Here is what I did in a similar situation. Blah, 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 blah." You might be able to discern when I stopped listening myself. I had offered up my heart song, and my beloved colleague listened with his head, processing, evaluating, weighing, and interpreting me through his own experience. He was like all of Taylor's friends, save the rabbit, who listened. I don't know. Has anything happened to you like that? Has anybody ever stopped listening and started fixing, advising, sermonizing to you? Have you ever been that guy? I know I have. Parker Palmer is a remarkable Quaker educator and author, and he observes that the soul is shy like a woodland creature. And great tromping about, lots of yelling and bushwhacking inevitably drive the soul to seek safety in the dense underbrush where it remains frozen and unseen. Anyone who has taken a serious walk in the woods and been surprised by how few chipmunks are around knows what I mean. All too pervasive cacophony of sound and fury just do not suit the soul. And the sound and fury that frightens off the soul is not only all the stuff going on around us, for there is as much or perhaps more sound and fury spinning and crashing about within our very heads. We drive our own soul to seek safety somewhere else. Our own thoughts and feelings and fears and worries are not welcoming or encouraging of the soul's honesty. So I think it's understandable that there have been times in my life where I have been out of touch with my soul, where it has gone into hiding, and it wasn't until I could be still, until someone would listen as I pushed out what was inside, all of the silt, that the soul would begin to emerge. Because when the soul leaves or hides, it is not available to other people, let alone to ourselves. Who am I? When our soul is hidden, our lives become divided and stunted, muted. Life grows boring and flat and soulless. We exist, we get through the day, but we can't honestly cry out with joy, "I am alive." But when the soul feels safe, the fullness of life begins. And that's where you come in, and you, and you, and all of us. Because religious community can be, is, and ought to be a true sanctuary for the soul, a safe place where we can truly be who we are, feel what we feel, know what we know, fear what we fear, love what we love, without judgment, without being reprimanded or corrected into the proper way of seeing things. Communities such as this can be and are a safe place in which the unique and precious soul may speak of our most cherished hopes, our most crippling fears. Here is a receptive audience for our heart song, all without judgment, dismissal, or cold-heartedness. Religious community, at its best, as sanctuary, affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person. The love in which we are held overflows, touching us gently, and we become the persons we are meant to be. Our religious ancestors, our great-grandparents in faith, rejected creeds and the narrowness of orthodoxy. They created sanctuary, they created safe spiritual spaces, rooted not in their shared belief, but through their shared love, affection, and respect for one another. Our spiritual and theological ancestors covenanted, that is, they made a sacred promise to walk together in mutual support and in shared community. This was their sacred promise. To walk together, to listen to one another, to hear one another's stories, to hear out each other as we each seek to know and do what is kind, loving, and just. This is our way today. I know a man who every day when he parks his car to go into the office building, cracks the car window open just a little bit. He does it, he says, so that the part of himself that he needs to leave in the car can breathe. I wonder how often we feel forced to leave our windows open a crack when we enter our workspace or a neighbor's house. I worry that we leave the window of our car cracked open just a little bit, even when we enter into our faith communities. What part of your soul does not always feel welcomed? How much sweeter it will be when the only thing that we need to crack open as we head into our faith communities is our soul, a breezeway for the light to shine out and the love to flow in. When you light the chalice, you remind yourselves of your deepest and highest values. We remind ourselves that this is a special place, a sacred time, when that covenantal promise is in play. We remind ourselves that here we are invited to lay down the armor and aggression of the workplace, of the world, of the battlefield called life. We create sanctuary in which all present feel safe to be open and vulnerable, able to change and to grow and to be transformed by listening and hearing one another. I would suggest what you probably already know, that everything you do here in the Skagit Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, everything you do is in some way rooted in this fundamental covenant to walk together, to listen to one another, to support and celebrate one another. And from that place of love and understanding, you are able to go out into the world and help it heal, and help it learn joy, and help it hear one another. And that, my friends, is what a true friend does. Listens to us so that we may know ourselves and know what is good and true and beautiful. And then the friend shares from himself or herself what they know as good and true and beautiful as we listen. Parker Palmer, whom I referenced earlier, wrote, "When you speak to me about your deepest questions, you do not want to be fixed or saved. You want to be seen and heard, to have your truth acknowledged and honored. If your problem is soul deep, your soul knows what you need to do about it. And my presumptuous advice will only drive your soul back into the woods. So the best service I can render when you speak to me about such a struggle is to hold you faithfully in a space where you can listen to your own inner teacher. Hold you in that safe, sacred place, a sanctuary where we can hear and listen. When we listen deeply, we trust that other people have the capacity and the wisdom to discern for themselves what is good and true and beautiful. We do not need to fix them or teach them or even to heal them. We simply witness their own true voice speaking aloud the values and wisdom which already live within." Little wonder, then, that deep listening is a spiritual discipline, and it is why we attend to it here in a chosen faith community. We set our ego aside. We set our needs and our fears and our experiences aside in order that we may hear better and understand better one another, that we may know one another and love one another more kindly, trusting that we'll get our turn too when we can speak and be heard. Listening hears more than the words spoken. It hears the music, the meaning, the emotion within and between the words. Speaker and listener are woven together in a rare and precious friendship. It is a gift that we can offer to one another. It is agape, a love that heals the world. It is the heart of who we are called to be and what we are called to do as a faith community and as individual beings. When someone listens deeply to you, it is like holding out a dented cup you have had since childhood and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When it balances on the top of the brim, you are understood. And when it overflows and touches your skin, you are loved. When someone deeply listens to you, the room where you stay starts a new life, and the place where you wrote your first poem begins to glow in your mind's eye. It is as if gold had been discovered. When someone deeply listens to you, your bare feet are on the earth, and a beloved land that seemed distant is now at home within you. When someone deeply listens to you. From one dented cup to another, I thank you for your kind attention and pray that our cups overfloweth with love and kindness this day and every day. Blessed be. Shalom, salam, and amen.
Thank you very much, Pete. Well, with that powerful and beautiful message, let's spend a couple of minutes now of bringing the healing experience of our own silence and meditation in this environment of friendship and humanism.